Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Vali Nasser, who is a professor of international politics at Tufts University. He's the author of The Rise of Islamic Capitalism, Forces of Fortune, The Rise of the New Muslim Middle Class and What It Will Mean for Our World, The Shia Revival and Democracy in Iran. Between 2009 and 2011, he served in the Obama administration as the senior advisor to the special representative for Afghanistan and Pakistan. Welcome to Background Briefing, Vali Nasser.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
And do you think that it's possible for the United States and Pakistan to get a divorce? They're certainly talking like angry spouses. What used to be muttered in private about Pakistani duplicity is now being publicly and bluntly stated by senior American officials like the chairman of the Joint Chiefs.
Well, what has been revealed is not new. The fact that the Pakistanis had relationship with the Taliban, that they supported extremist elements and still do, is well known to the United States going back all the way to 2011. What is new is the decision by the United States to make all of this public and therefore put public pressure on Pakistan to abandon its current course. It's not possible for the two countries to have a divorce, largely because the stakes for both of them is quite high, and going from engagement to confrontation will not be easy, least of all for the United States.
So there is also, I understand, a kind of another level. It reminds me of the Cold War of that indicates how this relationship has soured, I think, largely since Osama bin Laden was killed, hiding out right next to the Pakistan's military academy. My understanding is that the United States ambassador is restricted from traveling inside Pakistan, that he wanted to go to the opening of a hospital that was paid for by U.S. taxpayers' money, and the Pakistanis prevented him. And that used to go on during the Cold War with the Russians, but it surprises me that it's going on between two supposed allies.
Well,
I'm sorry, it's hard to could you repeat that? We appear to have lost that signal. Hello? Hello? I think we've lost the call. Can you call him right back, please? We're talking with Vali Nasser, who's a professor of international politics at Tufts University. Between 2009 and 2011, he served as the Obama administration's senior advisor. He served as a senior advisor to the special representative for Afghanistan and Pakistan, Richard Holbrooke, of course, who died in office. So we're trying to reestablish contact. Unfortunately, we're on a cell phone. So hopefully we'll be back talking with Vali Nasser. And we do have him, right? Sorry, you're back now. I guess you went into
this. Yes, I'm sorry. I was saying that, you know, some of this happened before. For instance, when in January a member of the U.S. Embassy was alleged to be with the CIA, was arrested by Pakistan after he shot two people who ambushed him. And that sort of revealed the fact that the United States may have operatives in Pakistan that Pakistanis don't know about. And then you had the bin Laden case where the United States carried out a very high stake operation, again, without the knowledge of Pakistan, which suggested that although we're allies, that there is a massive gulf of distrust, and there are things that the United States is doing in Pakistan in order to protect its security that it's doing without the knowledge of the Pakistanis.
So my understanding, though, is that arguably, as prickly as relationships between the U.S. military and the Pakistani military are, and Tuesday's New York Times has an extensive story about a shootout on the border with Afghanistan in 2007 in which the Pakistanis murdered an American officer. The Pakistani people are probably even more anti-American than the military are, aren't they?
Yes, I mean, the mood in Pakistan or the states has never been favorable, and it has increasingly become more anti-American as a consequence of particularly the United States' use of drones to hit terrorist targets. And since the relations between Pakistan and the United States have plummeted beginning in January and then with the bin Laden case And now with these public revelations, is becoming even more hostile. The problem with that is that it actually even decreases further the maneuvering room that the Pakistan military could potentially have to address U.S. demands. In other words, the country is now quite intolerant of the military leadership taking any steps in the direction of the United States. And therefore, one shouldn't foresee that the Pakistanis would now change course as a consequence of the revelations.
Well, the Pakistanis apparently, the foreign minister mentioned a new program of cooperation with China in terms of dealing with Islamic terrorists in the Uyghur territory of China, which seemed to me a fairly kind of crass, pivot towards China. That's not a realistic option for the Chinese, is it? I mean, for the Pakistanis to somehow replace the American patron with the Chinese patron?
No, but it has public relations value in the sense that it tells the Pakistani people that they are not alone and isolated. But there are other things that the Pakistanis are doing that does have a consequence. For instance, Pakistan has restarted negotiations with Iran about building a gas pipeline, from Iran to Pakistan. This idea was on the table. The Bush administration scuttled it through its own aid and engagement with Pakistan. It had remained off the table, and now the Pakistanis are putting it back on the table. I mean, put together, China, Iran, Saudi Arabia will not replace the United States, but it does provide the image that Pakistan is not isolated and it has other options. And it also is basically sending a signal to the U.S. that that if Pakistan were to get closer to Iran and were to follow a different regional strategic course, that it might even have the room to defy the United States further. And this is largely to do with the fact that the U.S. is threatening to cut off aid to Pakistan completely. And in that case, Pakistan has to tell its own people where it's going to substitute that aid.
But surely the Pakistanis have more leverage over us than we have over them, particularly given that all of the supplies, almost all of the supplies for the war in Afghanistan are trucked through Pakistan. I believe that some of it comes through the north, but that's expensive. And I take it, even though there's a route from the Persian Gulf through Iran into Herat, that's not – obviously, we're not having particularly good relations with Iran. Now, but when you mentioned a possibility of an alliance with Iran and Pakistan, my understanding is actually the Iranians are actually quite close to the Indians, and that is what makes the and India, of course, is what makes Pakistan paranoid about anything that they're doing inside of Afghanistan.
Yes, but we've done a very good job of souring relations between India and Iran. And so they're not as close as they once were. And the key question is that in the short run, which means within the next year or so, Pakistanis have more leverage on us, not only because of the supply routes, which carry at least 60% of U.S. supplies into Afghanistan, but we greatly depend on Pakistan for the stability of Afghanistan. The assumption is that the Pakistanis are not doing anything, but they are doing a minimal amount, which if they were even to stop doing as much as they're doing, it will impact the security in Afghanistan very precipitously. So, you know, the Pakistanis have time to wait. That's what they think, that they have time to wait, but the United States has a much shorter schedule in an election year in order to execute its exit strategy from Afghanistan, and that makes it much more dependent on Pakistan than otherwise. So in the long run, we don't depend on Pakistan. Pakistan depends on us for aid and assistance and varieties of things. But in the very short run, this relationship is actually lopsided in their favor. And, in an election, they calculate that it's an election year. The United States has already decided to leave Afghanistan. It needs a piece of security in Afghanistan. And therefore, they have some room to maneuver.
Again, I'm speaking with Vali Nasser, who served as senior advisor to the Obama administration's special representative for Afghanistan and Pakistan. So, Vali Nasser, what explains then, if Admiral Mullen is correct, and there's no reason to think that he's not, I believe they've got some forensic evidence of the ISI's involvement with the Haqqani terrorists who occupied that unfinished building and shot at the U.S. embassy for a whole day. If this is a case of an ISI operation, what's going on here? I mean, where in the chain of command does it go? Would the leadership of Pakistan, how would they profit from this kind of, flagrant stabbing the Americans in the back?
Well, the Haqqani network has very close ties with the Pakistan military, and that goes a long time back. But whether or not this particular operation was actually ordered in a direct way by Pakistani leaders remains to be seen. But largely is that the Pakistanis have no vested interest in our strategy for Afghanistan. We want to create a government in Afghanistan that would be independent of Pakistani influence. We want to build a large military in Afghanistan that would make sure that the government of Afghanistan remains independent of Pakistani influence. And we are negotiating all sorts of strategic relationships with Afghanistan. And we are essentially trying to create an Afghanistan that is viable and is independent of Pakistani control. And Pakistan is not sold on this idea. And therefore, they are not doing much in order to assist in what we wish to do. All along, the way we have dealt with Pakistan is that, it's been two steps forward, three backwards, and then, two steps forward, one backward. But we've sort of tried to keep them engaged and at least minimalize their what might be unhelpful behavior on their part. I assume that the Admiral Mullen reflected a certain frustration within the U.S. military that this process is too slow given the needs of the U.S. Strategy for Afghanistan,
sure,
and has decided to change course and put much more direct pressure on Pakistanis to get them to where we want them.
Well, when 80 American troops get blown up, Mullen's probably getting a lot of anger up the ranks. I thank you for joining us, Vali Nasser.
Yes, no, absolutely. I mean, there is a great deal of frustration within the American military regarding the fact that some of the most intransigent and intractable terrorists in Afghanistan are associated with Pakistan, or they operate out of Pakistani safe havens, and Pakistan has not has dragged its feet in terms of shutting down those safe havens.
Sure.
So a strategy of patience is basically run its course, and the U.S. has become much tougher.
I thank you for joining us here today, Vali Nasser.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Vali Nasser, who served as senior advisor to the Obama administration's special representative for Afghanistan and Pakistan. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about retirement heist, how companies plunder and profit from the nest eggs of American workers.
It's a standard procedure. I forgot to mention that grandma's pension will ease the rent book tension. A little birdie told me you've been cycling on.